And we're going to open up a special Scary Truckers Hotline, just for truckers, scary stories, things they've seen on the road. 818-817-0021. The Truckers Hotline, 818-817-0021. As I mentioned at the top of the program tonight, the Space Shuttle Discovery's final voyage is off, at least until the end of the month, because of a large hydrogen gas leak that forced yet another launch delay. It's the fourth postponement in a week for Discovery's mission to the International Space Station. We've got Richard C. Hoagland, who's been monitoring this situation for us for weeks now. Richard, this is an ominous thing.
Well, I don't see it that way. I see this as people being appropriately cautious. We have three missions left, three funded missions. This one, the one that's supposed to take place in February, which is 134. This one that is about to go is 133. And then the final one, 135, which is supposed to launch next summer in 2011. And what I'm really intrigued to see is that, you know, they don't have what we used to call go fever, where there's this overwhelming pressure to just get this program done and get on to the next program.
Right.
They're being very, very cautious. They're taking every appropriate step. I mean, this problem that they had today is a problem that's cropped up twice before. When they fill that huge tank with the 500,000 gallons, that orange bullet-shaped tank, with the 500,000 gallons of liquid hydrogen and liquid oxygen, the hydrogen is incredibly cold, George. It's like 435 degrees below zero Fahrenheit.
Wasn't that the tank that blew up when Challenger blew up?
Well, not exactly. It was knifed into by the solid rocket boosters, having flame comes out the sides. And so that cut into that tank, and then the hydrogen and the oxygen blew up. But the tank itself is basically very, very robust. In fact, sometimes major pieces survive reentry. It's that robust. The problem here was when they were filling the tank this morning, they found they had a leak of hydrogen gas out of a certain valve that had never happened before. It happened much earlier in the fill process. It didn't fit their models for, you know, how these valves normally behave. They can cycle them sometimes, and if there's ice or some particulate stuff in the valve, they can clear it by cycling. Nothing worked. They got much more hydrogen coming out as a gas. And you know hydrogen is very flammable.
Of course.
And if you have too much hydrogen swirling around on the pad, you could have a Hindenburg on the ground.
That's right.
We've all seen those films. So they stopped the count. They, you know, detanked, meaning they flowed the reactants, the fuels back into their tanks, pump them back in. It takes about 24 hours for that tank, when it's so cold, to heat back up to ambient temperatures in Florida this time of year. So they'll go in tomorrow and start to deassemble this connector, this valve on the side of the tank, connected to the pad, you know, ground support equipment, and they'll find out what's going on in there. They'll take it apart. They'll replace seals. They'll see what the mechanical problems might be, if there are any. And as you said, they now have another window at the end of this month, from the 30th through, I think, the 5th of December, to get Shuttle Mission 133, Discovery, the last flight of Discovery, the 39th flight of Discovery in all her 26 years from her first launch, you know, 26 years ago, over a quarter century ago. And they'll probably get it in 2010, which, of course, is what they want to do.
Sure.
So they have the time to do the next mission, and then the final one on the schedule in summer, June, I believe, of next year.
What did you think of the Hartley 2 photographs,
comet
out there?
I mean, compared to situation normal with the shuttle, even though it's winding down, the Hartley encounter is absolutely extraordinary, spectacular. Stunning, amazing, unbelievable. I mean, I can go on if you want me to do, you know.
With your adjectives.
Huh? Bottom line, this is not a comet, George.
What do you mean it's not a comet? What
For
the heck is it?
Everybody in our audience who's followed our work over it's now, what, 25, 30 years that I've been talking to this audience about this?
Yeah, I think so.
Hartley 2 is a 1.25 miles long, ancient, derelict spacecraft.
It looks pretty roughed up.
It is an ancient, derelict spacecraft beaten to hell in a handbasket by God knows what millions and millions of years ago. And I was just watching when you, you know, wanted me to come on and do this update, the official NASA press conference, where it's obvious from looking at the scientists and their reactions that they're basically what we used to call in the music business vamping.
Why do you say that it is a beaten-up spacecraft?
Because when you look at the medium-resolution images, which we have, remember, we've been doing this for a long time, we have now looked at all the available imaging on all the NASA websites, and not all NASA-released imagery is of the same quality. We've gotten high-resolution now TIFF versions, noise-free TIFF versions. We've subjected them to some pretty interesting processes that we've developed over the years to bring out detail, and there's no doubt in my mind, I mean zero, that we are looking at geometry. This thing is like a mile-high skyscraper, which has two ends, which have floors, which have eroded geometry of walls and decks and the kind of rectilinear geometry that you just don't get in nature. There is no way to get this naturally. There's a smooth space in the middle. And they basically have crafted a model that says that this is because there's material that kind of pools in the low areas. Well, the gravity of this thing is non-existent.
Are you going to do some work on this?
We're doing work. I'm working on a major paper on Enterprise to follow our work on Phobos, the inner moon of Mars, which is also, from our analysis, an ancient spacecraft. What I'm really hoping is that this audience, the folks listening to me right now, and looking at the radio and saying, he said what? This audience can really help politically, because NASA has not released the high-resolution images they took, George, at the same time they took the medium-res shots. And the reason is because I think they have a huge political dilemma inside tonight. They don't know what to say or whether to release them at all, because they will prove overwhelmingly that this model is correct. So what this audience needs to do, if you care about this, send an email to NASA headquarters. Just look it up on Google, NASA headquarters. There's a public website there. You can go to their, you know, contact page and all that. Send them an email and say, for God's sake, give us the high-resolution images of Hartley 2. Do not do anything with them. We know what you've got. We know the dilemma you're in. And we, the American people, who have paid for this data as part of the ongoing disclosure process going on all around the world, we demand the truth.
All right, Richard. Good for you. We'll watch this entire situation unfold. Richard C. Hoagland. And when we come back with open lines, don't forget the Scary Truckers Hotline, which is 818-817-0021. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Now, Sunday, 2 a.m., we're going off daylight saving time. Almost every state has been doing DST, except for Hawaii, Arizona, and most of Indiana. They don't do that. But when you go to bed Saturday night, don't forget to turn your clocks back 1 hour, okay? When you go to bed Saturday night, just turn it back 1 hour. You wake up in the morning, you'll be all set. I got to do it too, or I'll miss the show. I'm on Sunday night. Let's go to the phones. And the Scary Trucker Hotline, of course, is 818-817-0021. And we've got Brad, truck driving from Texas on Coast to Coast. Hey, Brad, go ahead.
Hello. I have a story that's gone on for years, I guess, or circulated through the truckers. It's never happened to me. But they say there's a highway in Louisiana. If you travel down it at a certain time of night, and the fog's just right,
uh-huh,
a woman will appear on the driver's side of your window while you're driving, and they say that she was run over years ago, and she's trying to find out who ran over her.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. I've never had a soft day out of Louisiana.
If you were down that way, would you stop and let her in the old cab?
Oh, she didn't stink.
I love it. All right. Thanks, Brad. That's his story. Lines open again for you truckers, 818-817-0021. We've got William in Michigan on Coast to Coast. Hey, William, welcome to Open Lines.
Hey, George, how are you doing tonight?
Good, not bad. Whereabouts in Michigan are you?
I'm actually over in Hart, Michigan, H-A-R-T.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
I had a quick comment on when you had Roger Lear on. If you were to take an implant out of one of these people and actually stick it into an animal, maybe sitting like right beside the person, possibly, that's similar to a human, and then just keep it in a cage or whatever, I don't know, cat, dog, or possum or whatever, and just keep cameras on it 24/7.
Interesting.
See if this thing would actually get beamed up or not.
Now, that's a very interesting possibility. I'm going to ask him that.
And I got another quick one just
sure.
to throw in there as a joke. What would happen if you stuck in an elephant right away?
You Michiganders, huh?
They better have a big spaceship. So.
That's right. Hey, was your city named after the late Senator Phil Hart?
I have no idea. I'm not actually. I'm a truck driver, actually, and it's like I'm making a delivery.
Oh, that's where you're going. Okay.
So I'm actually from exactly almost the other side of the state, Bay City area.
Okay. I know where that is. And I'm from Detroit, as you know.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks, William.
Hey, thanks. Have a great night.
We're going up to Utah now. Sterling's there on Coast to Coast. Hi, Sterling. Welcome to the show.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Good. Not bad.
Yeah, I have something that actually ties into the last segment, but off topic. John Hutchinson, the guy who's famous for his anti-gravity transmutation
yes.
and other work, he was a guest on your show a month ago, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been doing some work down on the coast looking at audio and radio frequencies to clear the Gulf waters. He and his associate, Nancy.
And apparently very successfully.
Yeah, and tonight we posted new data that actually was produced by your guest, Steve, what's his last name?
No, which one?
Stephen, hold on, I had it right here.
Stephen Alton? Colburn. Stephen Colburn?
No, Colburn.
The one we just had on with Roger Lear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And actually, Mr. Coons was also involved in some of that data. And they showed some elemental analysis of the before water and the after water, and actually some of the elements drop out. Now, this is the exact same spots. You know, you take a sample before, and then you go to the same place, take a sample afterward. The magnesium's gone, the calcium's gone. And there's several things that go out of the water, and it actually goes back to normal salt water.
It is remarkable. I mean, almost to the point of being a total pristine water again.
Yeah. And this thing covers an area of at least a mile in radius as they're sitting there on the beach. It's 2,000 watts is what it pulls. And they're looking for some more beach area. If any of you listening to the show happen to have some beachfront property anywhere along the Gulf Coast that's been polluted, they're looking for a place to go. Just go to PESN, that's Pure Energy Systems News, is where we posted this story. You can download this PDF file that we got from Steve. And some previous stories that we've done on this development. It's really fascinating stuff.
It is. As a matter of fact, Sterling, last week, Dr. Robin Falkov sent me some information about John Hutchison's work in this arena, and we're looking into it as well. He could clean up the entire Gulf with that technique if it works, and apparently it does. Let's go to Eugene, Oregon. We've got Leonard there on West of the Rockies. Hey, Leonard.
Hey, how's it going, George?
Okay, how are you?
I'm doing better.
Good.
Yeah. I missed the guest speaker, Dr. Roger Lear, with mm-hmm. alien implants, but that's all right. There's plenty of opportunities in the future. I was
hoping
I could share my story of being young and going out on a paper route with my sister and how it led me to believe that I have an implant.
What happened to you?
Well, when I was 7... I lived with my father and two brothers and a sister of mine. I was 7 at the time, and my sister was 14 or 15. And we did at that time live in Eugene, Oregon. Eugene is a city. It's a valley. Probably a lot of people know this area because of the ducks right now.
And it's gorgeous.
It's awesome. It's beautiful. A lot of beautiful deciduous trees. Well, if you think of Eugene as a bowl, as a valley, we lived at the top of the bowl. So when I say that, I mean that we, you know, if there were to be clouds or if there were to be fog, we were really close to it because we were higher in elevation. Well, she had a paper route on Fox Hollow Road. And finally, one night, she came to me and said, "Hey, Len, Dad said it was okay for you to help me only on the weekends because I was so young. I couldn't do it during school days." I said, "All right." So I hopped in my bed, was on the ground. And as she was walking out of the room, she said, "Oh, and Len, there's these things in the sky." And when I heard that, I didn't think anything of it. You know, I was seven. The most I thought about was taking my bike with my older sister, middle of the night, dark, no one out, no dad around. You know, it was a pretty cool idea. So I just added it to my cool list of things to do that early morning. Huh. Well, sure enough, when we got there, you have a paper out, there's a drop box, and, you know, we put our papers in our sack, and I started walking down the street, and next thing you know, I heard the thing in the sky, and it caught me off guard, because it was very loud. Middle of the night, not a single car, not a single person, nobody around. And I'll give an illustration of what this thing sounded like.
Sure.
It sounded like a fire extinguisher. You pull the trigger, and you hear that noise.
Whoosh. Yeah.
Big, giant cloud of smoke. And depending on what maneuver these things were doing, it'd leave a 5-foot trail, maybe a 10-foot trail. But they would make zigzag patterns. I mean, they would make like the shape of an L. So, I mean, it could turn on the dime. And I said, "Whoa, what's that?" My sister said, "I told you, Len, there are things in the sky." So on that particular road that we were on, it was on 43rd Street, there was huge trees. It's Eugene. So we didn't have very much good visual above us. So we said, "Right, let's deliver these papers. At the end, it opens up big time. We'll take a look." So we did. At the end, Fox Hollow Road and Pinecrest meets, and we stopped at the very edge of the sidewalk where you have a stop sign, and we looked down the road, and we noticed that there was a big group of cats in the middle of the street. Now, when I say there was a big group, there was at least 20 to 30 cats in a circle, okay?
How bizarre.
None of them were fighting. None of them were howling at each other.
Yeah.
Some of them were laying down. Some of them were standing up. And some of them were actually looking up in the sky. And my sister and I had told each other, you know, they must notice these things too, because you could hear them. They were very loud. And that's when we got caught off guard, because those things started moving up there. And we realized there was more than one. There was three or four. And I remember at this point in time, we were just watching these things, almost doing a show for us in the night. And me and my sister huddled real close to each other. And I remember looking down the street, seeing those cats. I slowly moved my eyes up towards my sister, where I saw her go, and that's all I remember. I don't remember walking past the cats.
Do you think you were abducted, though?
I absolutely do.
Did they ever have an implant or anything like that taken out of you?
Well, I think that did happen. I don't remember. I remember some things about that paper route that I won't, you know, I don't remember, you know, guys coming out necessarily, or a spaceship or anything
right.
like that. I just remember weird things happening. And,
well, I got to tell you, Leonard, I mean, they do have a way to make you forget for whatever reason. They just don't want you to have any recollection of what's going on. Open lines continue in a moment, including the Scary Truckers Hotline, which is 818-817-0021. Well, it's time for our traditional shout-out, and thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM, keeping us the number one rated late night program in the world. Those of you listening to your favorite radio stations across North America, thank you. Streamlink, Coast Insiders, thank you very much. By the way, we'll be testing a brand new system for our Streamlink Coast Insider chats that we do on the first Tuesday of every month. We haven't done it in a few because we're working on some new software. We're doing a beta test on Monday, so hopefully things will be working very soon there. And a lot of other new little nuances that are coming down the pike. I'm told Android and BlackBerry apps in November. Don't have the specific date yet, but we're well into November, so it's coming up soon enough. XM Satellite 165, thank you as well. And then the various chat rooms and groups. NighthawkZone.com, folks, headed up by Bad Boy, thank you for supporting Coast to Coast over these years. Imaginative Worlds, Into Infinity, National Radio Club, Sorcery IRC, the MySpace groups, Yahoo Chat. How about the Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, Above Top Secret, the SoCal UFO Meetup Group, the Hollywood Ghost Hunters, and the old buddy Greg the Cook in St. Louis. Thanks to all of you for keeping CoastToCoastAM.com the number one rated show at night in the world. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. We're going to go to the phones. I had a friend of mine. She flew from Hawaii. From Vegas to Hawaii, somewhere along that flight, of course, there's no place to land, right? Somebody died on the plane. Can you believe that? Oh, my gosh. Let's go to truck driver Tom in Oklahoma City for his trucker story. Hey, Tom.
Hey, George. It's good to talk with you. And I'm a longtime listener. I've been listening since the days of back in the mid-90s.
The beginning of time, almost.
Yeah, really. Well, one back in the 90s, this is when this story I'm going to tell you about occurred. I was driving on US 30, coming into the town of Kimmerer, Wyoming. And that's, for people that may know anything about that town, it's famous. It's got a historical landmark in it for the very first JCPenney, part of our old West lore. And but it was in the daytime, and you know, not a lot of traffic out there on the U.S. highway. And I remember coming into town, it makes a junction with another highway, and there's like this grass area to my left, and you know, I could see in this junction, and I see a cowboy standing out there. But it's the strangest thing I've ever seen. He was like all tan leather color, his whole body, his skin, everything, except for the whites of his eyes. I could see the whites of his eyes, and as I'm driving down, his head is like slowly turning. He almost looks like a life-size carved wooden Indian, except I see his head turning. You know, it's sort of like looking at me as I'm going by.
How weird.
And it was the weirdest thing, but I realized, you know, I don't know, I just had this this feeling inside me, this is not a real person. This is something that doesn't belong there, like a ghost. And so it was just the strangest thing. And I asked some other truckers about it later, and nobody saw anything. You know, I was calling them on the CB. I just saw this weird glimpse as I drove past. That's the only thing.
Did you look at the thing in your mirrors? Was it still there as you drove by it?
I was mainly looking out the windows, not so much in the mirrors. I really don't recall if I would look back to see it in the mirrors. I just remember this, you know, how your skin feels weird, like goosebumps or whatever, when you feel something that shouldn't be there.
I wonder if he was like a battery-operated mannequin or something like that.
I don't know. It's the strangest thing. Like I said, I had this feeling it was something a lot different, that it wasn't, you know, of this world anymore.
Well, that is...
The color of it, though, is what got me, because I'd never heard of a ghost being all, like, monochromatic and all, like, one color.
Exactly. It looked more physical, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It had a physical appearance. But, you know, as I drove past later, you know, it was gone. It wasn't there. So, and it's just the strangest thing. It wasn't like a statue or anything, you know. It was something that was, you know, something that was there. And it, like I said, it moved. I saw the head move. And then, you know, I never saw anything again.
And off you went. Thanks, Tom. You truckers see some strange things out there. East of the Rockies. We're going to New Orleans. Hi, Dustin. Go ahead. You there? Well, you're not. Try to get a better connection there, Dustin. Eric's in Queens, New York, though. Good morning, Eric.
How you doing, George?
Good.
Yeah, I'd like to ask you a question. This is basically for all the listeners. I want your opinion on something. Did you see the movie The Fourth Kind?
I did not see the movie yet.
Wow. Well, basically, when you get a chance and you get to see the movie, there are some very disturbing images of apparent alien abductions in the movie. And to this day, I'm still haunted by it because it looked so real. And apparently, those were the true actual video tapes from that movie. So I basically want your opinion on that.
Okay, absolutely. I you know, I get a lot of these on video. I don't go to the movies as much as I used to. What I do is I wait, I get them when they come out on DVD, and, you know, in I go. But, man, that technology is changing now, too. Now you get movies beamed straight to your television set on demand. I mean, it's something. But I got to tell you, when the X-Flare comes and all these communication systems that we've gotten so used to are gone, we're going to wish we had hardline backups. I'm telling you, people are getting rid of them like crazy. As a matter of fact, the cable companies are starting to go nuts because people are dropping cable, hardwired cable, because they're going more to satellite and other systems like that. But, you know, I still think we need hardwire backup systems because it's going to happen one day. Anyway, Jared is on the wildcard line in Dayton, Ohio. Hey, Jared, go ahead.
Hey, George.
Hi.
Yeah, I have a scary story about a ghost-possessed cat. My wife and I had just had our first son, our first child, and it was January here in Ohio, and it had just snowed real big. And our son was about a month old, and we heard this mewing outside, and I went and checked outside the door, and there was this little white kitten sitting out there. And the cat was super smart because, and I, you know, I didn't want a cat, so I shut the door, but I couldn't leave it out there. So I got my wife and I was like, you know, look, there's a cat out here.
Yeah. What are we going to do with the little thing?
So, you know, I figured I'd let him in and take him to the shelter the next day or something. And so, you know, I told the cat, I was like, come on in and we'll take you to the shelter tomorrow. And he just walked in and sat down. And
like he knows the house, right?
He did. He was totally smart. And, so then, you know, we had a little washroom there, and I told him, I was like, all right, go on in the washroom and go on in there, and I'll get you some water, you know, and I got him a can of tuna, and he walked in there and sat down and just waited for me. And, you know, I shut the door, and a little while later, we went to bed, and that night, my wife and I had the exact same dream that this old man, like this very Jungian archetype of a like a wizard, kind of looking like an old weathered man, walked out of the laundry room, walked into our son's room, and was standing over him, talking to him. And we both woke up at the same time, totally freaked out, and we jumped up and ran in our son's room, and he was just laying there cooing and laughing like he was carrying on with someone.
Wow.
And, yeah, and that cat, we gave it to her grandmother to keep her company. She was an elderly lady, and that cat was mean to everybody except for my son, and he could drag it around by its tail, and he could kick it and bite it, and that cat never cared.
Isn't that something? That is strange.
Yeah, that cat was with us until just about a year ago when her grandmother passed away, and then the cat passed away like within months afterwards, too.
You know, and I think the most telling part of your story is the cooing of the little boy as if somebody was in that room.
Oh, yeah, it was fantastic. He was, whoever it was or whatever it was definitely, even though we were a little frightened, he wasn't frightened at all. It was obviously a very nice thing, you know, a very nice spirit or whatever.
Right, not out to hurt him.
No, not at all.
No, that's the important thing. Hey, great story. Thanks, Jared. Next up, let's go to Tennessee. Dale's with us on the wild card line. Hey, Dale, go ahead.
Hey, George, how you doing tonight?
Okay, great. I love these Friday nights.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? I'll tell you, my friend, you have one heck of a way to get information to people. You should know how to drop bombs. Man, when Alex Jones was on there, I'm like,
yeah.
I mean, he, George, I about fell through the floor. And I mean, you're saying he had evidence of this. Have you heard any more from Alex about that?
I get
so
many.
Put some on the website, or
yeah, he puts a lot up on his websites, Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com. He always attributes the things he says. He gets them from clippings, newspaper articles, stories of reporters. Very rarely will Alex go out and say something unless there's some backup to it.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, I believe the man. And especially when he said he had 7 terabytes of information,
yep.
I'm like, wow. I mean, this is going to rip something wide open.
Yeah.
I just hope the heck he's careful.
Yeah, well, that's the important thing.
Yeah, he could be opening a huge Pandora's box on this one. But, hey, we got to know. I mean, we can't trust our government. I mean, who can we trust?
You can only trust the people you love. That's it. You really can't trust anybody. Yeah, well, absolutely. We'll bring you the truth as much as we can.
And I'll tell you something. I listen to you religiously because that's the only place I do get the truth.
Super. Do you work during the daytime or nights?
Oh, I work 2 nights, midnights, and then I work 3 nights, second shift.
So do you sometimes dragging during the day because you listen at night?
Oh, and I do. I mean, and I got a question for you about the simulcast. What was this called? Streamlink?
Streamlink, or now Coast Insiders, yes. It's pretty affordable, by the way.
Yeah, and now if I get that, then can I download, like,
yep,
on all the MP3 stuff?
Absolutely. Past shows. And also, you plug your little podcast, you know, we podcast right through your computer. So let's
really?
say, say you pass out and miss a show at night, it's waiting for you in the morning, and now you can listen to it.
Really? Because I'm just afraid the government may decide to throw the virus into somebody's computers. Or
You never know.
Oh, gee, what was that he said? There's no proof. Oh, yeah. Yes, there is, because I got it here on hard copy, pal. You know, and that's what I want to do. But, George, hey, you're the greatest. You have the greatest show in the world, and I will ever be a forever loyal listener.
Thank you so much, Dale. Hey, by the way, don't forget now, as we come up to Thanksgiving, we'll have a live program for you. Thanksgiving night, I'll be here. And then as we get into Christmas, Christmas Eve is a Friday night. I'll be here. And then Christmas Day is a Saturday. Ian Punnett said he will work that day. I was going to give him Christmas off, and I was going to come in and do that Saturday show. But he said it's his schedule, and he wants to do it. And that's our pledge to you. And then the following week, as we get into New Year's and New Year's Eve, we're going to have Art back to do some of his prediction programs for you that week as well. That's the one week I'll take my vacation off. I get three, only take one. So I'll do it during that week, but we'll have you covered as well. But we'll be there for you for the holidays, as we are every year. And next week, by the way, first hour on Veterans Day, Daniel Brinkley joins us to talk about his Twilight Brigade and some of the incredible things that he has been doing for veterans, whom we will never forget. Sean is truck driving from Nebraska. Hey, Sean, go ahead.
Hey, George. It's not really scary to other people, but when I was a child, my dad was a truck driver. He was living out of town, working for a company, driving local.
Okay.
I was supposed to spend the weekend with him, and two people that lived in my town were going up there to work with dad. I was supposed to ride with one of them. That morning, that person I was going to ride with said, no, I can't take Sean with me because it's too foggy. I'm too new at driving. I'm too scared to. Which was no big deal. I rode with the other guy.
Sure.
We're going down the road with one guy that I was supposed to be riding with behind us, and he was behind us after a little while. We did a U-turn, went back, and found his truck in the middle of the highway with the windshield smashed out. Come to find out, there was an air compressor underneath the passenger seat that blew up and threw the passenger seat through the windshield.
And you would have been in it.
I would have been in.
Oh, unbelievable.
He wasn't hurt, and I wasn't in that seat.
Would you have been killed?
I think so.
Oh, my God.
But also that weekend, after when Dad was going home, he had bought a used pickup truck to go back home with. And we're getting on the highway, and when he went around the corner, the door on my side didn't latch properly. And I flew out that door, rolled down the embankment. Actually had my first out-of-body experience on that one. I was standing on the side of the road, and I saw the truck go by and me fall out. And when I got to the bottom of the embankment, I was back in my body.
Sometimes that happens when you have that jarring effect. You're astral body gets flipped out of your physical body that way.
That's happened a lot of times in serious accidents that I've been in.
Well, those are great stories, Sean.
Well, thank you, George. Thank you for being there.
Okay, you too. Next up, we go to Toronto, Canada. It's Joe's turn. Hey, Joe.
Hi, George. I'd like to comment on, you talked about earlier in your program, your thoughts about Israel attacking Iran.
Iran, sure.
And it's my opinion that, this is probably faulty intelligence that Iran has the bomb. The fact is that Israel has the bomb, and they occupy territory. They manipulate our media. They got Helen in Washington fired. They're starving the Palestinians. The government there, Netanyahu, is a very dangerous person.
Well, look, this is what I've said about Israel and the Palestinian situation. Both sides need to get together and stop doing what they're doing. Palestinians at this point need to recognize Israel as a nation. Israel needs to stop their building process and make a homeland, truly help a homeland for the Palestinians, who are truly oppressed people. I know a lot of folks who are Jewish, and I know a lot of people who are Palestinian, and that whole situation is totally still out of control. there is no winner in that situation. Okay, and I don't want you picking on Israel. I don't want you picking on Palestinians. Both sides need to come down and get this stuff done. They hate each other ever since 1948, when the world paved its way for Israel. And then Israel came in and took some lands that belonged to Palestinians. Make no mistake about that. But you know what? Nobody has ever been able to get that situation worked out. And until they do, we're going to continue to have fighting in the Middle East. There is no doubt about that. We've got time for another quick call here. This hour, we've got Jason in Maryland. Let's see if we can squeeze you in, Jason. Go ahead.
All right, George. Well, I wanted to update you on a case I called in a couple of 3 weeks ago on an ex-Army, or not Army, but Air Force sergeant about his experiences. Actually, I didn't tell you the Air Force base. And I'd like to tell you tonight, see if we can't get any veterans who may have experienced something similar.
Sure. Well, where's the base and what happened? Again, real fast.
This was Shemya Air Force Base in 1977. How much time do we have? We've got less than a minute or so, because I can wait on the other side of the break.
No, yeah, you got about 40 seconds.
Yeah, it'll take a bit longer than that, unfortunately.
Okay, but, all right. We'll get you next time if we can do that. Indeed. By the way, I'm in St. Louis. I'm going to be here through the holidays, and then I'll be going right back to the lovely land of Los Angeles. Coast to Coast continues in a moment.